Good evening, ladies and gentlefers. Welcome to the South Effort Podcast. You're listening to myself, Ivic Wolf, and my co-host, Scratch.
Yep.
And our guest this evening is Nicknack, spelled N-I-C-N-A-K. Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, good. How are you guys?
Always good. So, the list of things... sorry, I'm going to jump straight into this. The list of things that you're doing currently seem to be very, very long and... like, require, I don't know, a little bit of explanation as to what exactly you're doing and where.
Mm-hmm. I'm making a lot of merch. I'm volunteering for conventions now. Just trying to branch myself out there more, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. And your brand is, you know, Nicknack, N-I-C-N-A-K.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, I mean, you've obviously started doing the whole pin thing as well. Like, how do you... Weird question. Like, how do you get pins? Like, who creates them?
It's pretty much manufacturers in, like, Asia. And I kind of go through a middleman that's in the UK. Mm-hmm. It's a bit more pricier doing it that way, but I just find it's easier because of the language barriers and everything. But, yeah.
All right. Okay, so that's pins down. And you're obviously also an art. How long have you actually been in the fandom?
Oh,
I was
boy.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I like to judge it based off of when I made an FA account. So that was back in 2010. So almost 9 years now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, and I mean, I don't want to get into that question.
Let's get there eventually.
It starts with an A, it starts with a G, or like has a G in it and has an E in there somewhere as well. And that's the entire word.
All right.
It's stupid to ask that question.
Yeah. No, I was, I think, around 15, 13?
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Somewhere early teens.
Okay. And that seems to be the sort of general trend that a large amount of people in their early teens, 14, 15, tend to join in. I know that I've seen people at like 12. That one scares me.
Oh yeah, no. Like back then I was definitely like on DeviantArt when I was around that age. And then I used to follow a bunch of furry artists that kind of migrated to FA. And I was like, oh, I should check that out. Because I heard a lot about it being like a money-making website too. And I was just starting to get into conventions and not consider myself a furry either. Like very anti-furry by that point. Mm. And then as I got into the community on FA, I realized that it was more than just, you know, making money. There's actually some really good people in the community. So I slowly started getting into it and made a fursona and then commissioned my fursuit years later.
All right.
Went to con.
How did the commissioning, like, sort of work out? Is that easier for you to do, I think, up in Canada or?
For the most part. Like, I have only been doing... commission and convention stuff in Canada right now, just because it's hard to do that across the border without getting into trouble. But as far as like doing online commissions go, it's pretty easy to deal with people all around the world.
It's like PayPal accounts and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as an artist, like how have you found the sort of commissioning public? Like how do they sort of treat you as a person who's now very sort of, I think, well known within the fandom now recently?
Everyone's really great. I haven't had too many bad experiences at all. Like my bad experiences were back when I wasn't really considering myself a professional artist and wasn't acting like it either for sure. Mm. But, everyone's been great and I really enjoy doing them.
Okay.
None of that fallout reached like artists beware or something?
No.
All right, good.
Yeah. Like, and, Since you brought up Artists Beware, do you think that it's a good push from people to like have a site like that up and sort of willing to listen to complaints? Or do you think that people complain unnecessarily in that respect?
It's definitely a mix. Like I've gone through that site and I've seen a lot of people being pretty nitpicky about certain things, but I do think it's a good thing to have for people who are serious about commissioning professional people. Because personally, I wouldn't want to work with somebody who doesn't act professional when they're dealing with money. Like it just seems like a common thing to me, but I'm sure people have their opinions on it.
Speaking of opinions, weird way to segue into this, but if anybody who is listening to the chat right now, if you can go into furry.fm, or if you're on the app, you can go onto either one of those two things. You can send us any queries through there, and we'll obviously ask Nick Knack those questions if you have any. No, guest 350 is here. Halcyon is here. Badge is listening in the wings. He'll probably like tap me on the shoulder at this point and tell me, hey, I've got a question. He's just tapped me on the shoulder. yes, Badge? Do you have a question? Okay, he'll have a question soon. He'll type it through. So guest 350 asks, beep, boop. How do we respond?
Boop, beep.
Right. So you're also in the animation industry. That must take up a large amount of your time, though.
It does. Oh, boy. I'm definitely pushing myself to the limits with that, but I enjoy drawing a lot, so I'm not going to stop.
Any projects that you've worked on that we might know about?
You might know of the one show that's airing right now. I think it's been airing for about half a year now, but it's called Wish Fart. I know it's on Teletoon here in Canada, but I'm not sure what channels it's on across the seas. But I think the UK has had it for a few months now, and it's getting good ratings, so it's good to hear. But I do all the character and prop design on the shows I'm on right now. And it's been pretty fun. A lot of work, but it's fun.
It's always good when you enjoy your work, and especially in a creative industry like that. There's a lot of room to play around in, and
definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd actually now like to see that animation. I love pretty much every single animation that pops out, and I'm just like, oh, where is it? I need to find this and watch this. Okay. I guess 350 is actually a person named Boots, and they say hello.
He is a local in the Toronto area. Very nice guy. Very good performer too in fursuit.
That's pretty cool to hear. Speaking of fursuiting, now obviously it's a performance art a large amount of the time. I know that I myself have only recently gotten a fursuit, and I find it terrifyingly difficult to act anything beyond mostly frightened of everything around me. Like, how have you experienced that?
So far, fursuiting has been a pretty positive experience for me. Like, I've gone to a few conventions now in the US and then here, and everyone's really great to mingle with. And then I recently did a fan expo here in Toronto, which is a big just convention for everything. And the public got a great reaction out of it too. Like, I didn't get any bashing or anything, glares or stuff like that. So it was nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I mean, 9 years in the fandom is a very, very long time. And especially these last 9 years, oddly enough, between around about 2010 to 2018, like, a large amount of things have changed in the way that the fandom operates. Have you found that it's been mostly for the positive or the negative?
That's a hard question to answer, because it depends on what you're specifically talking about too. I think as far as conventions go and just the general furry scene, I think it's really positive, and I think the general public's been looking into it at a different light, in a positive light too.
Yeah.
But I know social media has kind of been, I don't know, up and down, especially the Twitter scene, but I try to stay away from that and just focus on the positive stuff about the fandom.
Okay. So Badge has a question. He says, how do you be an animator day job and then still have energy for cons, art, pins, and such?
Yeah, I still ask myself that, because it's been tough to try and deal with, but I just kind of keep telling myself that I enjoy drawing and I don't want to give that up, and drawing for furries is something I've always loved to do, and I like making people happy with my art, so that's usually what motivates me in the evening when I get back from work.
Sure. So, and this has happened to at least one or two furries that I know of, but I mean, like, the idea of carpal tunnel.
Yeah. And,
how do you counteract that? Or is there actually any kind of good way of making sure that you don't get into, that sort of scene?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wrist stretches that you can find online that you should probably be doing every 10 minutes when you're working at the computer. Mm-hmm. I could probably post that at some point online, but they're pretty helpful. And I'm just like taking breaks and walking around, making sure you're not sitting in one position for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have a wrist brace that I wear and just got like a cheap one from like a drugstore. And whenever my wrist acts up, I usually just put that on and I go to sleep with it. And usually by the next morning, I feel better and just take it off. But definitely breaks for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty good advice, I think. I mean, like, obviously, like, they're the normal wrist exercises, the one where you stretch it out forward and then backwards, side to side, I guess.
Yep.
Okay. And like, do you feel that like with all the other added work that you're doing currently, do you ever feel like super tired?
Yeah. Over a week? Yeah. Definitely. Like, I'll need my breaks every so often for sure, like any normal person would need to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I usually get right back into it after I've had some chill out time. Just go hang out with friends for a bit or something, or watch a movie.
Yeah. Streaming? Do you do streaming?
I do, yeah. I actually do streams on Sundays, but I'm taking a break to do this instead because it's better. I used to do them right around like 6 p.m. Eastern time, but I recently changed it to 12 p.m. Eastern time just because I found myself going to bed pretty late and then being tired for work the next day. But I usually just do sketch streams and take on commissions every week. Yeah.
So I'd assume that there's like a Patreon page that you've got out there and things that people can join up to?
Definitely, yep. I have a Patreon. I have a Telegram channel for art updates that I'm not great at keeping updated, but I'm trying. Right. And then just Twitter is usually my main thing where I post all my updates.
Yeah. It's difficult to keep social media presence.
Really
Yeah. Yeah, we would know. We have a Facebook page that hasn't updated itself in months.
Updated itself as if it does it automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should. It should actually. And you can actually make it do that. There are, like, you can schedule posts on like an hour on like a daily basis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've seen pop up on our Twitter page quite often. It's like, no, you can schedule posts. Yeah. Okay, so we've got your... Okay, I'm going to pop all of this information into chat, if that's okay. That's the one that you've got on your website here. It includes your Patreon, your website, your email address. I'm just going to pop here. Yeah, Basilisk is saying that it's weird how Twitter is the common for social media. I would agree, actually. But I think, again, it's about ease of access, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's just so easy to just write up something on the spot and tweet it.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, bite-sized opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or bite-sized updates.
It's definitely useful. But Facebook's completely fallen out of favor, and I don't exactly know why.
Oh, I wouldn't know either. Maybe it's got something to do with mining data. Oh, wait. Hold on. Okay, are we allowed to say that on air?
Even before that, I mean... It was like steadily on the decline. But Schwartz.
So
dead platform.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Mm. Don't think he needs any more money. But okay. So a question obviously about I guess female representation within the furry fandom. I know that I've had this conversation with a couple of people before. The artists like groupings happen to have a far more, what's the word?
Female centric?
No, not female centric, but largely more females within like art and those kinds of things than the general fandom. Do you possibly have any idea or clue as to why that might be?
I really don't know, actually, because I've always kind of been wondering that too, and I think it's great, but I don't know what really sparks that. I'd love to know if anyone has an answer for it.
Yeah. I mean, we'd have to ask more females, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Basilisk5 asks, what about Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram is definitely getting bigger, I find, too. Like, I recently made just a first-seating account on there just to try and, again, expand myself across different medias, and it seems pretty good. I still prefer Twitter, but we'll see where Instagram goes for sure.
But with the whole suiting thing and with everything that you do, like, again, like at a convention, do you do any of the fursuit dances or anything like that, or is that...
I'd love to, but I cannot dance for the life of me. But I do have like dancer friends that I would love to just learn from and see where that takes me. But I like just being an artist and a fursuiter, starting to get into being like the performing part too and all that.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
You can leave your friends behind.
Yeah, that... And if they don't dance?
And if they don't dance?
Yeah.
Well, I know friends of mine. Sorry.
<Yeah. laughs> Oh, no. I don't like this song anymore.
Why?
It's a good song. Because I wouldn't be your friend.
Dude, I don't dance either, so whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you've seen the, what's it, You Can Prance video.
Oh, God.
I don't think I've heard of it.
You've never heard of it? It was FE. Yeah, Fernal Equinox. It was one of their videos that they put out there.
Really?
Yeah. The FE Prance, pretty much, which they did. You Can Prance If You Want To. They changed up their lyrics completely.
Oh my gosh.
The guy who was actually doing it had, like, at that point a partial, but he... Let me see. It's a fox. With like a waistcoat.
Okay.
You Can Prance.
No idea.
So you think you can prance. Wow.
Oh,
this
okay.
is a thing. So you think you can prance.
God.
With Beth Bears, Nigel Lithgow, Adam Shankman.
I have no idea who any of these people are.
It was made in 2013.
That's a while ago.
Yeah. Now, Nigel Lithgow is a name that I know. Somehow.
I know it's Jonathan Lithgow. But that's
maybe
guy
he's
from,
a brother.
No, Jonathan Lithgow is the guy from Third Rock from the Sun.
There it is. Furs Without Suits.
God damn it. So they're just going by Men Without Hats.
What did I just do?
You've opened up a can of
worms.
Okay,
I found it. I'm just going to pop this into the... Yes, I have, because this is the kind of can of worms that I like opening.
Oh, boy. I'm going to regret tonight. Okay, so...
There it is. Yes.
Question.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know this suitor. I forget his name, but I've seen him around.
Let me see. Is this Tojo the Thief? Oh, yeah. I feel like I've seen that name.
I really like the song. I know that a lot of people might find it cringy, but in that same sense, like, you know, what's the word? All the Single Furries is still a video.
Gosh.
Badge here says, oh, why know how to dance? No one can see you blush in suit.
That's very true. I almost need, like, a secret suit if I really want to dance, so no one actually knows it's me, and then I can't be judged for it. Like, my dream is to just be a really good dancer, and no one will know it's actually me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can just break it out whenever. Maybe it'll happen, who knows?
Maybe. I mean, like, it's one of those things that I know that I've been watching a... vocal coach recently talking about the idea that, you know, pretty much anybody can sing if they're not, you know, tone deaf. And tone deaf is actually not even a thing. Like, he was very, very adamant that that's something that you can just train.
Well, the same with art, essentially. I mean, no one...
Yeah, that's very true.
No one's fully born an artist or a singer or anything. Like...
Yeah, some people look. I mean, and that actually brings up another question that I've been asked that's been, I think, making the rounds on our forum, if I'm not mistaken. I remember that somebody brought it up. But like the idea of inherent talent versus, you know, like hard work and practice. Like, I know that with inherent talent, you have a knack for it. But I mean, somebody who trains really hard can also do the exact same thing and recreate. It's just that you happen to be able to do it a lot better from the beginning. Mm-hmm. At some point, both even out.
I don't know. There's a quote about that, but I'm going to look for it.
Okay. So while he's looking for that quote, we have another question here from, I think it's Boots. Any commissioner or convention horror stories?
Oh, boy. I feel bad talking about this because I'm always paranoid someone's going to know it's them that I'm talking about. But I've definitely had some interesting encounters at conventions, especially just interesting people. Mm-hmm. You know, people criticizing my work right up front. Well, I'm just sitting there. It's like, oh, like I would buy this, but I don't like how this is drawn. It's like, oh, all right. That's fine, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
up to
it's
you.
Definitely hard trying to keep your cool and keeping the smile when there's people like that that stop by.
Yeah.
I haven't had too many bad commissioner experiences, except, mm-hmm. like I said earlier on, I think I got a request for something pretty strange, like very not safe for work with like some centipede character.
Oh boy.
And it was like for a traditional sketch commission, I'm like, I don't think this can fit on the page that I'm drawing on. So that was the end of that client for sure.
Halsey has a quote here that goes, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, Bob Ross himself, Bob the Man, said, talent is a pursued interest. Anything that you're willing to practice, you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that.
So, the term popufer.
It's too early in the night for that question.
Look, I mean, 8,500 followers. It has to come up at some point. Like, how do you deal with claims that that's the case?
I don't know. I don't know. I think popularity is such a small thing mm-hmm. to really look at in the fandom, and it shouldn't really matter. Like, numbers, they don't really mean much to me. But
mm-hmm.
if I had to, I wouldn't say I'm popular. I'm still, you know, not that big.
Beg to disagree, but I mean, but the thing is that it's I mean, your art style is something completely unique. What you're doing, for instance, all of this stuff that you're doing is very unique to, you know, your particular brand that you're putting out there. And that's another question, of course. And I know that myself, I have issues sort of putting like anything that I'm involved in out there. And I know that people have told me, you need to market, you need to do these things, you need to do those things, unless or else it's going to fail. I like passive like things, because I don't know,
word of mouth marketing kind of thing.
Word of mouth, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, and how do you deal with that, for instance? I mean, like me, I'm again, I just don't like pushing my art. I don't do art. I don't like pushing any kind of agenda, especially when it is anything like that.
Yeah, like I know a lot of people that are similar. They definitely kind of hesitate doing that because they feel like they're being annoying or they don't want to be in people's faces. But I completely agree. It is the way that you need to go to if you want to be successful. You kind of just have to be like, well, you know, forget those people who are bothered by it. You don't really want those people following your work anyway. If people are really interested in what you want to do, they'll stick around and they'll appreciate the constant push of your work and stuff. Like, you got to promote yourself for sure. So I just kind of do it.
What's it? Spudge has said the following. I would buy this, but don't like how it's drawn. Well, Sunshine, that's a fucking art piece. This style is kind of what it is. What even are these people?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I understand critiques. I'm totally fine with critiquing, but I just find there's a time and a place for that. And when you're an artist trying to sell your work, it's just kind of unfortunate having someone come up and say that to you.
It's, I mean, the entire idea is just that, you know, I don't like how this is drawn, you know, go to someone else kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like telling them that directly almost feels kind of annoying, even like just telling them, like, if you don't like it, leave. Yeah,
definitely.
Mm. Thank you for that not constructive criticism.
Yeah, it really isn't. And I mean, like, with things like that, and again, like, as a creator, it can definitely get into, you know, if it's a constant thing that people are constantly saying this, then it can definitely lead to a large amount of other issues, I think.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
Have you ever had a day like that?
Oh, yeah. I've had a month like that, like months like that. And I just kind of keep it on the down low because I like remaining positive online and all that. But it's tough. And you just kind of have to either take the time to just chill out and take a break from doing art for a bit. I also like to sit back and just look at other artists I follow too that I really look up to. And that usually brings me back to a positive headspace again. I just love this fandom for that, just the creativity, and you're able to just look around and be like, wow, you know, this is an amazing fandom and everyone just is so artistic and skilled, and it's just wonderful to see. So I just kind of look back at that.
Well, that's very positive, actually. And I mean, it's one of the things, I think that's possibly one of the best things about the furry fandom is that, like, positivity is one of the, like, highest qualities that it has, although sometimes it's not always that positive.
Yeah.
But, like, it always wins through.
It does.
Ooh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Ooh? Yeah, sorry, our stream just sort of cut off, but the internet went bonkers, but it's fine now. It's good. It's all good.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. And we didn't miss too much?
No. It was, like, 4 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, cool. It does that every now and again, I think. But I mean, like, speaking about positivity, as a person who is positive, like, what would you like to say to people who do have issues with, say, you know, self-confidence in respect to their own art and you know, the things that they're currently trying to do?
Yeah, I'd say let's take a step back and maybe don't be so hard on yourself. Don't compare yourself to a lot of people because there's all sorts of different ages and skill sets, and you can't really compare yourself like that. You just kind of have to believe that you can push yourself to work as hard as you can be so you can be up to that point. And just don't be hard on yourself. Look at your stuff. Actually, another thing too is just looking back at your old work that you've done years ago. Because you can definitely see changes when you do that, and you'll be like, wow, you know, I'm not as bad as I think I am, for sure, because 13-year-old me sucked, and it's cool to see that, for sure. Never throw out your old drawings, because you need to go back and look at that. It's a game changer, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Boots asks, since you've mentioned it, who are some of the artists you look up to or draw inspiration from?
I got to go through my Twitter and find all their names. Actually, no, I'll just go to my FA profile because I have all of them listed there. If you guys know, there's a Russian artist called Peggy Bruno, and she's absolutely incredible. Floating Lights, I think that's the same handle on Twitter. Mish, Kihu, Skya Sky, Arrow Socks, Ricket, Silver Denny, and Jill Costumes are all huge inspirations of mine, and I definitely enjoy seeing their updates and their work, and just they're great inspirations to look up to, for sure. If any of you want to know more about artists that I really like, feel free to contact me, because I could gush about every single one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's really fun. I mean, it's something that I've noticed quite often within the furry fandom is that, you know, unlike the art scenes of more, I guess, popular artists, this includes music and all of those things, like, there doesn't seem to be as much infighting amongst artists. It's that entire idea of, you know, everybody's a fan of, you know, everybody else.
Each other, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, there's the odd few who, you know, have big egos, but whatever. It's, for the most part, it's definitely like a little family, and we all just kind of constantly support each other and try to lift each other up, and it's a really cool thing. I love that. It's something I didn't really get going through animation school, for sure. Like, I unfortunately had the opposite, where people just kind of like to step on each other and try to get to the top and not really help, unfortunately. But that was just my school's reputation. So.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's one thing to sort of do that, and I mean, I guess in the real world, as one could probably call it, like, it is kind of a dog eat dog world out there.
It is,
I know that.
Yeah.
Like, South Africa has large amounts of graphic designers popping out like every single year. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that the vast majority of them are probably not going to get work here. Mm. They have to like go freelance. Our campus like churns out probably around about maybe 100, 200 graphic designers on a yearly basis.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, like our entire sort of group, but the thing is that like it's one of many other graphic design like places out there. There's AAA and Vega schools, I think, as well. And all three of these people are trying to like compete and get people out there to be what, like, I think my particular company wants to call real world ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to deal with the idea that you're going to get like ripped to shreds by someone somewhere, particularly because they want your job.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a different world for sure.
do you find that in your company at all, or do you find that there's more camaraderie? Is it like a smaller company or not?
No, it's a pretty big company. Like they're located in Toronto, and for the most part, though, the animation industries in the GTA are pretty good, the greater Toronto area. Mm-hmm. They all usually hire people from other studios the odd time, or they'll just kind of swap and all that. And they're all pretty close-knit and usually friends, too, so that's kind of nice. But I've heard of other studios that definitely have that competition issue about them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sort of feels like that with like the game development scene in Cape Town kind of thing as well. It's like everyone's been sort of sort of knows someone in another like IT company, but they're doing gaming on the side kind of thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Mm. Does it ever get daunting, like having to deal with competition in that kind of way?
Yeah, a little. Like, I always feel, especially, well, mostly into the professional industries, like, I feel like I'm not good enough, and it's really tough, but I keep forgetting that, you know, I do have a job, so yes. Clearly someone liked my work, and that's all that matters, but it's tough for sure.
Every artist is his own worst critic.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that, actually, like, I know that if you look at some of the animation schools, and I know that there's been this large trend to go more, rounded figures rather than like angles.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word that I'm looking for?
Give an example.
I'm trying to find an example now, and all of them have just decided to Steven Universe. Mm,
yeah.
What animation school is that again? I can't remember which one. I think it's somewhere in California.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what exactly, what are the pros and cons about that, for instance, that now animation has gone into sort of a very sort of simplistic, CalArts, there we go.
The CalArts style. Yeah, I always see like arguments on Twitter about that. But it's just kind of like, studios do this because they just know that's a style that a lot of people like, and they tend to kind of copy each other because that's just what's in. Like, if you look back at Looney Tunes and all the shows that were being made around that time, they're all pretty similar with that same kind of style, although this one's definitely more, like, it stands out more. But that's just kind of what happens. And it's definitely a lot easier to work with, too. Like, for animation and designing, it's just a nice simple style, and you can pump it out really fast, and studios want something that's simple and easy to work with and cheap to do just to produce more work faster, so they're going to obviously go that route.
But doesn't that kind of, what's the word, like, it makes the pool so small, though.
It does, and and it gets repetitive. Like, you just see it all over the place, and it's kind of annoying. I don't know, like, there's definitely a lot of people out there like pitching shows in different styles, trying to to change it up a bit. But it really all depends on the higher ups and the companies, who unfortunately aren't usually artsy. They're the business type, and they tend to not listen. So.
That actually reminds me of a a short story that I read very, very recently. Was doing for a review. That's gone way too far away from where I wanted to be. It's actually out of the What the Fox anthology by Fred Patton. Like, the one story is what's it called? Sorry, I just want to find this title quick. Now press buttons. No, Dazzle Joins the Screenwriters Guild, by Scott Bradfield, which is actually, it's a very interesting story, particularly because it kind of shows what happens when production times are coming very close, and it seems like everybody's actually not doing anything and like living off of a paycheck for like the next few months, trying to milk it as far as they can. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen like production companies do that before or not?
Not in my experience. It's always kind of been absolute hell towards the end of a production, like just trying to meet the deadlines and stuff. But I've only been working in the industry for, I think, 3 years now, and just have been only on two productions and still currently on one. So I haven't had too much experience with it, but yeah.
No, but, yeah. for interrupting the whole time. Mm-hmm. I definitely... in the gaming industry as well, there's definitely sort of crunch towards the end, and if your studio goes into this kind of death march where everyone needs to like clock in 10 hours a day kind of thing, people sleeping under their desks, then it happens. It's an unfortunate reality of the entertainment industry in general. Like, if there's a deadline to be met, the competition is like so hard, and you're gonna get super bad reputation if you don't deliver on time. So crunch happens. Crunch very, very much happens.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Right. Again, if anybody does have any questions for Nick Knack, please do post them here, or you can post them onto our, I think it's on the app. There's a fur.fm app. If you guys haven't downloaded that, or if you're listening from somewhere else, do sort of put your questions there. I'm hopefully going to get them. Otherwise, you can obviously just DM us on, at South Afrofur on Twitter. If you guys do have any questions there, more than welcome to. But yeah, so, I mean, like, Project Dead, yes?
The question always pops up, like, we always ask you, how long have you been in the fandom and everything, and what's great about the fandom, but why furry? That's
always... Yeah, good question.
Why is it called the furry fandom? How did you discover it? What makes it, we know what makes it so great, but how did you fall down the rabbit hole?
I'm sure you've heard about like the story a lot, but just like watching Disney movies, specifically Lion King, is what kind of drew me into really liking animals and constantly watching it as a kid. I just suddenly had this creative spark because I had an aunt who was working for a sticker company at the time, and she was an artist, still kind of is. And she kind of taught me how to get into drawing, and then meeting people in school who also liked drawing, I kind of would sit beside them, we'd draw together. And I just kind of always had that creative spark and drive to want to be an artist. And it was like, I didn't really realize up until like middle of high school that I could work in the animation industry. My mom ended up finding a really good college in my area, so I ended up going there and applying and got in, and kind of went from there. Just loving Disney movies and animal characters is what got me into it. I guess I could go more into like getting into the furry fandom too. Like, I didn't really know that existed. I kind of joined some forums that were related to Lion King at the time and found more art forums online in DeviantArt. And then that's when I kind of discovered, oh, wow, like people are drawing a lot of animals and they're primarily animal artists. And that's when it led me on to FA and realizing there's a whole community for it.
Yeah. I know one of the furries from our side, Yukon, actually had was running a relatively successful Balto group. back in the day. Like I still remember that I think he was what, if I can remember correctly, he was 16 when he started moderating the group on his own.
Wow.
So yeah, that's it's actually interesting, sort of like the ways that people get into furry and things like that. And I know that my personal inspiration was like Balto and Fox and the Hound.
Yes, yeah.
I also don't necessarily see any reason as to why Fox and the Hound should be hated much. It's actually a really good movie in its own right.
Oh, is it hated? I had no idea.
It doesn't have the kind of ratings that you'd expect from a Disney movie,
right? Because it's pretty dark, I guess.
Yeah. Makes sense. And it was, as far as I remember, they said that they were like between animators, and it was actually a movie that was almost not made.
Mm, yep.
Yeah.
That was the same with Lion King, too. Mm, like, I guess they had Pocahontas going on at the same time, so they took all the good animators to work on Pocahontas and left all the mediocre ones on Lion King. And Lion King ended up being more successful, which is pretty funny.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think...
So is that the reason?
Huh? Yeah, I think Disney always has some sort of, like, A and B movie that they run in their...
Concurrently?
Sets. Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
I think Zootopia was supposed to be a B movie, and they were banking on something else being huge, but I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What was with Zootopia at that time? I can't remember. I just only remember Zootopia being the only movie that came out from Disney in that.
I think it was Moana section. That came out pretty close. Oh,
Moana, but both of them were great.
Yeah, they were wonderful, but I guess they weren't expecting Zootopia to do as well as they did, and that's why they had such limited merch, too, in Disney stores. They just didn't think it'd take off. It's like, come on. You know how big the furry fandom is. We're all going to go ape shit over it.
Yeah. No, they definitely didn't expect that. Didn't see it coming.
So, Badge asks, what do you take away from most of the productions you've worked on? Do you always work with the same teams, or do you have to say, you know, bye to people you've met along the way?
So, I've been on, like, I'm currently on a production, so in total I've been on 2 productions. So the last one I had a really good friend group, and fortunately some of us kind of migrated onto a different show. So but I'm still with some of the crew I was with the last production, so it's been pretty good. I'm sure later on in life I'm gonna be meeting new people and saying goodbye to them along the way, especially like interns that come in who are only there temporarily and then they go back to school. That's usually what happens to me. I'll find someone I really like, and then it's like, oh, they're going back to school, and I probably won't see them. Darn.
What do you take away from most of the productions you've worked on, the two?
Definitely, like, the speed, I guess, and working in a production has helped me with, like, working on commissions and pumping them out pretty quickly. Learning how to work in different styles has always been a bonus, too. And drawing different things. Like, I wasn't really a big prop designer coming out of school. I really wanted to push trying to be as best as I can be with characters. And I guess my supervisor found that I was pretty good with props and wanted me on that mainly for my first production. So that's kind of cool to be like, oh, I guess I am pretty good at something I never thought I would be. And it's cool to incorporate that into commission work, too, that I do for a day job. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, guest 81 asks, firstly says, hello, Nicole.
Hello.
they were wondering if there was a furry-related show or movie that isn't well-known that you think people should check out.
Oh, gosh. I really want to recommend something, but it's very not safe for work. I just found it the other day.
So take whatever with a pinch of salt, but recommend away.
Okay, it's called Poopy Doo. It's all furry characters, and it's a French show, but there is subtitles on it, and I'll let you guys judge what you think of it, but I've been watching it for the last couple days, and it's pretty funny.
Is that 2 words or 1?
It's all 1 word.
Interesting. on the YouTube, on the Netflix?
On YouTube, yes. Okay. I'm going to get judged for this now. People are like, what is Nick Knack into? Why am I following this artist?
Oh, well.
Yeah, I can't find it currently.
Let me see if I can get the link here. It'll be in my history.
Maybe just pop it to our chat.
I'll get their channel.
We've seen some interesting things like rising in the ranks these days.
Oh yeah, though this one's very new actually. I think it just came out a couple days ago, so I'm sure Fraser will be hopping on it very soon. I'll send it to you guys through Skype, but it's not letting me go to the chat for some reason. Here we go.
What's that?
How do you spell that? That'd be a question. Wait, did I just open that? I didn't just open it. I just clicked it. Oh, this actually looks pretty cool already.
It's really cute characters in it. It's just, and it's actually oddly educational too. So you can learn something.
Oh, it's Peepuda.
Okay, I reversed it. That's why then.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So if you're over the age of 18 in Canada or 21 and everywhere else, you can check it out.
I totally need to check this out. This actually looks pretty cool. What's that? I'm assuming that says the super fuck friends.
Pretty much. Yep. Quite literally.
Okay. I'm just looking at the like art right in the beginning. Thumbnail. Yeah, this is very, very much not safe.
Yeah. Oh,
Okay, guest 81 is the Living Shadow.
Also another local in the Ontario area.
If I can remember correctly, I know that they've yes. The Grey Rat?
Yep.
Yes. I don't know. It's okay, cool. That's interesting. I like the art, and I know that I've seen it around. I remember, like, it was earlier this week that I saw the face pop up, and I'm like, potential for other questions later. We'll ask.
Definitely.
Huh. Ah, yes. Okay, so, interesting topic so far. Where do we go from here? Where? So your con experiences, because we kind of skirted over it and I want to come directly back to that, like, you know, any kind of con experiences that have been interesting, like funny stories from particular conventions, your most interesting convention that you've gone to so far, where whatever might have happened.
I'm trying to look at the list of conventions I've gone to. It's been like so many in the last couple. Well, the last year, I guess, because my first convention in the U.S. was Anthrocon 2017. So I'm still pretty new to all of them. But I'd say the most interesting one for sure would have been Camp Feral this past year. Like, I've never been to a con anything like that before. Like, it's very much just a summer camp. It doesn't really feel like a convention until you see fursuiters walking around. Then you're like, all right, a convention. So that one was pretty fun. Like, just so many outdoor activities that you get to take part in every day. And it's just great. It's just unfortunate that they have a cap for attendance, because I just would love to see how big that one can get. But
It's been around for so many years. And the cap does, like, I could imagine that it makes it very, very difficult to actually schedule for it. And definitely. I know that people actually make it in. And I'm just sitting there going, like,
Yeah, I was surprised too, because I almost applied right when it closed. I had like friends yelling at me to apply, and thankfully got in. But yeah, it's a great con. I think MFF was interesting too. That, like, my first one was in 2017, and I'm going back again in 2018. And that one had an interesting atmosphere too, because a lot of the ones I've been to has just kind of been pretty chill and small, whereas this one became like the number one con in the world. And it felt like a 24-hour convention, just like you go for a walk just thinking you might not meet up with people, and there's just people everywhere every time of the day. I was just trying to think if there's any like funny experiences from any conventions I've had. Not too much. Like, just the coolest thing is probably meeting people at these big conventions that are from like across the seas, and they recognize you like right away. It's it's weird. Yeah, it's pretty neat. That's a random stranger just randomly knows me and likes my art. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
All right. Trace exclaims MFF. And guest 350, or again, Boots says or asks, any dream jobs or productions that you'd like to work on?
Ooh, yeah, there's a lot. Like, there's a studio in Ottawa that does The Lion Guard. And I'd love to work on that show. I've heard it's a bit tricky because of the 2D rigs. But yeah, that'd be something I'd love to work on. Honestly, just anything animal or furry related for a show would be great to work on. It's just unfortunate because I don't know. You'll have to get like a team of furries in order to get a show started that's related to it.
Okay, I know that, I think Boots, no, Shadow, is asking, how do you feel people's attitudes of furries have changed over the years from when you first joined until now?
Mm-hmm. I think it's getting a lot better. Like, I actually just recently, my mom recently asked me if I had a fursuit, and I've had mine for a couple of years now, so it's interesting just kind of being like, yeah, I do, and she just took it really well compared to what I would have thought she would have taken it as, and just seeing, like, the general public when I went to Fan Expo this year, like, I'm just walking around in suit, and, like, people are just full on yelling, ah, furry, and they're, like, running over, so a lot of people know about us now, and it's pretty neat. And there's nothing bad coming out of it from what I've seen. So I think it's only going to get better from here, I think, pretty much. Yeah.
There's been a lot of positive media that's been coming out recently. I know that even in South Africa, we had a radio interview from one of the bigger radio stations. It was daunting as all hell, mind you. But, I mean, it was an interesting sort of affair. Like, obviously, because, like, South Africa's fandom is so much smaller, so there's not a lot of media from South Africans out there that they can actually look at.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is obviously, you know, are you guys a fetish club? And I'm just sort of like, could you not?
Yeah, it's, why does it have to go there?
Yeah, sure, you saw the one episode of CSI, but come on, man.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? 2004?
More than a decade ago, and it's still damaging.
Yeah. I mean, my answer is always, you know, everyone has sex, so obviously, yeah, it's probably going to have some of that in there, but you know, whatever.
No, exactly. It's like, do furries have sex?
You people have sex.
Yeah,
it's all you need to say.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know, telling somebody, like, yeah, I mean, firstly, the perception is that we don't, and then somehow we do, and then that's wrong.
Yeah, it's like, no one's ever found, like, a right way to answer that question.
Yeah.
And no matter what, yeah, you'll get criticized for it by somebody, so it's like, it's best just to not...
Yeah.
Just, let people find it out for themselves.
Yeah, just deflect as hard as you can.
Guest, goodness me, I wish you would change your name.
Yeah.
Oh, 2003. Okay, I was only a year off. Guest 350 says, did the feed cut out for anyone? I think, look, if the feed does cut out, just refresh your video page, because that does sometimes stop after a while. I've noticed it myself. So maybe just, you know, refresh. Maybe I should type that in. Refresh the feed page.
Because it doesn't
seem... sometimes...
Yeah. We've still been recording. Sound's still good. Everything's... yeah, nothing's really changed on this side.
Yeah, it's... feed page. Is that the radio page? I wouldn't know what to call it.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, but it stops itself sometimes. I know that, again, it's happened to me on like two or three occasions, so just maybe just refresh the page, the pop-up.
Like
the pop-up
every
page.
Stream site just tends to do that.
All right, so when it comes to your, you know, your live casts and things like that, like, What do you find is the general purpose? Is it just to hang out with people while you're doing art, or like what do you use it for? Like,
Yeah, I just like hanging out with people and just kind of chatting with who likes my art and follows me and stuff. It's always nice to just kind of sit and draw and feel like you have some company around. Mm-hmm. And I always like to see artists I like kind of live streaming and just kind of seeing how they work and how they start from sketch to like final drawing. So mm-hmm. it's cool to kind of share that with everybody. And then if anyone has like personal like questions about my work or what I do and stuff, then they can just kind of ask it right there and I'm there to reply to it and stuff. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Seems yeah. fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like this is going to be an awkward question. Like I know that in 2016, the average age, dropout rate, or not dropout, but like there's a drop on point and a drop off point. I think that age is around about 22, 23. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee that age is going to start shifting more to the right in respect to age?
I'm not sure. Like, is this regarding the community or the art? Yeah, or?
The community. Yeah. Okay. I mean, like the average age of, I think, furries currently is around about 22, 21.
Right. Yeah. I think it's definitely going to be probably younger people coming in than what we're normally used to, I would say. I think the older furries, unfortunately, will probably be dropping off. And the age will definitely shift from what I'm seeing. I mean, I think it'll always be like 20-something dominated. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing a lot more younger furs coming in these days, for sure. And I think it's great.
Yeah. Sure. So, I mean, both Scratch and I are like 30 now. And like, I know that I'm probably not going to leave the fandom anytime soon. I'm just wondering what leads people to leave after a particular age. Do they feel too old for it now? Or
I mean, it could be a majority of things. Like, you know, wanting to start a family could be a big factor, and just not having the time to take part in the furry community. It could just maybe they're sour about how many younger people are in the community, so they're like, yeah, I'm done with this, you know, who knows. But I'm pretty much with you on there. Like, I don't see myself dropping out anytime soon. I think I want to be doing furry art up until the day I die, so we'll see.
That's pretty strong, isn't it?
At least
I mean, I know for instances, like I wouldn't mind being like the 66 odd year old person like standing around giving presentations while drinking wine.
I love
wine.
Seeing that. It's great.
What's it?
Maybe one day we can have a wine stream for you, Ivic.
Yeah, be nothing better than that. I tend to always have wine streams. It's just nobody sees me drinking it. Yeah. No, like not tonight though. But yeah, like if there is wine, I will be drinking it. Actually, Halsey brings up a good point here. It wouldn't be surprised if it simply was a case of what socially kept people around starts to fade as the social base changes. Mm-hmm. Normal case of fads coming and going.
Yep, definitely. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think of furry as a lifestyle more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, then again, like keto is also apparently a lifestyle. But sure.
But pizza's so good.
You do realize that you can have pizza without the like pizza base, and it's literally your base is like cottage cheese, and a whole bunch of absolutely wonderful things, driven by fat. We had a deep dish. We had a deep dish that we literally, like, the bottom half. So if the deep dish was about maybe 3 inches, like, the first inch and a half was just cottage cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not pizza. That's lasagna.
No.
Pretty much at that point.
It's a carbless pizza.
Pull what you will, dude. That's lasagna. That's freaking lasagna.
There was no other carb in there. There was no lasagna thingies.
But if it's 3 inches thick, then it's not a pizza anymore. It's not a pizza by any standard. It's a trifle.
It has savory trifle.
Good. Sorry. That is what it is, dude. Seriously. It's called a pizza base, not a pizza flipping well bucket.
Haven't you
really
seen
want pizza now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen deep dish pizza, but it's never like it's what you're describing is something completely different.
It's tasty as hell.
I don't doubt that for a second. But just your like I'm arguing semantics here and I'm saying that is not a pizza.
It's got all the ingredients of a pizza in it minus the dough.
Yeah, well so does a ham and cheese sandwich.
Okay, fine. Halsey's going linguistics on my ass here. Google given standard of what a pizza is a dish of Italian origin consisting of flat round base of dough baked with a topping of tomatoes and cheese, typically with added meat, fish, or vegetables.
Fish.
I don't understand anchovy pizzas at all.
I don't either. I love fish, but I could never get over that.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also strong resistance against pineapple on pizza.
That's the best pizza.
I know, right?
Oh, apparently, I keep mentioning this, but they've started making pizza with peach on it.
Oh,
I need to try this.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Interesting.
I mean, like, look, if pineapples, why not peaches?
One of my favorite toppings is bananas.
Oh yeah, I love banana Caribbean pizza.
Dude,
absolutely.
Yeah, my favorite combination is the Caribbean pizza. It's bacon, banana, feta, and garlic. That's.
I need to try this too.
Yeah. That's good.
I don't think we usually get that up here, but I'm sure I can request for it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
if you can find a, which you probably will in Toronto, if you can find a South African shop.
Mm-hmm.
So with South African oriented ingredients, do yourself a favor and buy biltong.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much beef jerky, but better.
Oh, yeah. I love beef jerky. Sounds great. Okay. I'll keep an eye out for it.
buy yourself some biltong and then make yourself a biltong pepperdew and feta cheese pizza.
That's good.
Yes.
It's absolute heaven.
The other South African thing that I also highly recommend while you're in that store is rooibos tea, if you can find any. Red Bush tea. I don't know if they've rebranded.
It should probably be Red Bush now, because I think that, what was it? There was somebody who tried to trademark it in America, and they were like, no, you can't do that. Apparently Hawaiian pizza is a Canadian creation, if anyone wants to know.
No wonder. So,
thank you, Canada.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Canada. Yeah. It would be funny that Canada would be the place that makes a tropical pizza.
Yeah, yes. You think it would be Hawaii, but I guess not. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh right, and Milo. If you can find Milo as well, definitely get Milo. It's a chocolate drink like a powder,
chocolate
oriented
malt kind of thing, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that around for sure.
It's a Nestle product, so it should be should be available most places.
But I haven't given it a try, so I definitely will.
It's nice, although I don't eat it anymore or drink it.
Rooibos can apparently be found in non-speciality shops in the U.S., which is great. That means that our exports are working.
Yay!
Okay. So, weirdly, okay, so international furries who can't necessarily speak English as well as they'd like to, commissioning you, what are the kinds of communication gaps that you get?
I actually haven't really experienced too many gaps. Like, it's been pretty good. Like, the most people I've dealt with have really good English to deal with. So, it's more like if I'm commissioning somebody, I kind of found that I've had a couple language barriers, but nothing too big. Like, I usually would just kind of have to explain myself a bit more in depth and not like using like lingo and stuff.
Okay.
That usually throws them off. But yeah, for the most part, it's been pretty good. I think the one thing I've had is dealing with a few Montrealers who speak fluent French is a little bit difficult, especially at conventions. Like, thankfully, they usually have a friend or a partner that can speak English pretty well, and they'll deal with it for them, but it's still pretty neat to see. Like, you can tell they really like the work that they're purchasing from me, and you know, they're trying their best to thank me. But luckily I know a bit of French, so I can definitely understand them, but I'd love to be able to speak it more fluently if I could.
Like, a weird question again, like, is Canadian French different from French?
Yeah, from what I've heard, I'm not going to say which one, but I think they both kind of consider one of them to be a bit more rougher, or like, mm-hmm. not the official French, I guess. I don't want to get into it, but something like okay. that. I guess they have, one of them thinks it's cleaner than the other. I don't know, but it is different. Like, I think there's, some certain words and certain phrases that are much more different than, you know, like France French and Montreal French.
Mm. French people but, thinking I mean, other that, French people yeah. are too bougie.
Yeah,
that's a new one.
Basically, it's well, no I mean, different I've... than like Canadians and Americans, like, you know, yeah. having that kind of slight difference in tone and certain words and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know that, like, what's it, Americans obviously like to make fun of the, like, pronunciation of the OU sound.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I remember hanging out with some Californian furs at MFF, and I kept saying, oh, geez, and they kept making fun of me for it. I'm, like, suddenly self-conscious of what I'm saying now. I'm like, thanks, guys.
This is obviously just more my own opinion, but I find that Canadian people are just so much more wholesome.
Oh.
There's yeah, I mean it's little things like that, like the thanks and the, you know, sorries and all those kinds of things. Yes, those are tropes that are being used, but they tend to be very sort of true
very
to
true.
Form.
Yeah. No, I've noticed this too.
I use OGs a lot.
Yeah. Mm. No, a lot of people do. I guess it was just not a Californian thing.
That's actually, oddly enough, and it's something that I found out, like, also that, like, Canada and South African people seem to be very similar in the way that they sort of approach particular situations. Like, you do get the odd person who gets, like, really angry about something, but the default answer to practically anything is sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sarcastically or yeah. otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. Still sorry. We've covered a large amount of ground. Is there anything that you like? We still haven't really gotten to, you know, con experiences as much. I know that I want to push this a little bit, but like, I mean, is there a particular con that you like the most currently?
Yeah. Hold on here. I'm trying to think of what one I really liked. I think it's still pretty new, but Canference in Ottawa. I really enjoyed, like, the attendance is super small, so unfortunately it's not a super great con to sell at, but in terms of staff, like, everyone was wonderful to work with. Like, that was probably the best con I had for staff experience, just very caring about the dealers and their attendees and wanting to make sure everything's going well, and they're very proud of them too, of them, like, their convention. Like, it's really nice to see. So I hope they do get big in the next couple of years, because I think that would be the con I'd like to see be really successful.
Which what cons do you guys have in Canada? I'm a little bit, like, not clued up on
that. So we have Vancouver in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. We have Fur A, I think, in the Alberta area. We have Fernal Equinox, which is the biggest one in Canada, in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then we have Canference in Ottawa, and I think we have a few other, like, smaller, like, furry meets that could be cons at some point, but they're just kind of staying as meetups mainly.
Mm. And is Camp Farrell not there as well?
Oh, yeah, and Camp Farrell too, sorry. Yeah, okay. It's up north in Algonquin. Yeah.
I thought, like, Camp Farrell was, I know it was north, but I thought it was, like, almost North Dakota, kind of Washington State-ish.
No. It's like, so I think it's about like a 4-hour drive from where I'm living. So it's just far up north and kind of like middle of nowhere. But it's really
neat. I remember seeing distances that, like, I think what's the nearest airport to that is like a 3-hour drive away.
Yes. Yeah. It'd be Toronto. Usually people fly in there and they take either like a bus or some sort of other car vehicle up that way.
Public transport.
A 4x4 might be good.
Yeah.
Ski-doo, sled dogs, and whatever works.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, that was something that, what was it? I was talking to Potteroo the other day, and he was telling me that, like, there are pretty much, you have to probably have a 4x4 to get to where you need to be.
Yeah.
Because there's some rough roads out that way.
It was our first year this year, and we were pretty shocked with, like, the road up leading to camp. Like, the main road was fine, but as soon as you got off that to turn into the camp, it was like an extra 10 or 20 minutes of driving on this really rough gravel road. And it was like, oh god, we're gonna die out here.
Now then again, none of Archons have ever really, like, ended on a on a gravel road either, or a tarred road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I think the longest one was the first one, where it was like a 30-minute drive on nothing but dirt road.
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, the second one's dirt road was worse.
Yeah, shorter distance, but worse.
It's like my gosh.
It's like your kidneys get a workout.
Yeah.
Who needs to drink when you can do that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay. Any international cons that you'd like to go to?
Oh, yes, definitely. So Nordic FuzzCon's a big one for sure, because I had a few friends go there last year, and they had an amazing time. Euroference, for sure. I'm trying to think of what else is out that way. I still want to get a fair share of my, like, U.S. con experience, because I've only kind of stayed out into the East Coast area. I haven't really gone out West Coast yet, so any of those
people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. BLFC, FC, all those ones I'd love to go to.
Mm.
So hopefully one day.
I mean, you've experienced both large and smaller conventions. Like, which ones do you like the most?
Definitely in terms of selling, I like the big ones. I find that's the great moneymaker cons for sure. And but for small ones, I definitely like just kind of having chill times and hanging out with people. It's great. I don't really mind, like, selling and not making that much money, because I get to enjoy the convention more.
Right, yeah.
I like both.
One's good for business, the other one's good for pleasure, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Badge is, like, badgering me to obviously put up our own convention and ask if you'd ever be able to come down to South Africa.
I'd absolutely love to. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, actually, interesting question. Now, for people who want to sell artworks and things like that, and go to conventions and things like that, what do they need to know?
Definitely just kind of basic business practices you should definitely know. Like, you don't need to go and take, like, a whole college course or anything. Just kind of just looking up what you basically need to know. Following artists that go to conventions help a lot, too, to see how they organize and make a dealer set up and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't sold in any conventions in the US yet. I've only kind of done, I think just this past ACA did the art show once. But to sell, like, in a different country, definitely need your permits and all that, which I'm still trying to look into. But if I can get information for that, I'm more than happy to help people with it. Yeah, I think that's about it.
I completely forgot that would be, like, it's a business transaction, so you have to have permits for it.
Yeah. I mean, some cons you don't need it. Like, I think MFF, they kind of say they'll add it on to what you make, or they'll take care of it for you, or they just kind of make sure that you know you have to do it and let you do it. And some people just kind of skip out on it.
But yeah, like, in days like this with the internet, where you could literally just say, here's my email address and send me a reference picture and money will appear in your PayPal account, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird having to think, oh, there are actually trade laws with regards to this kind of stuff.
It's ridiculous. I wish there wasn't, but, you know, I understand cons wanting people to do that so they know that they're serious and want to be a dealer, and to go through that, you should go through the whole process, so...
You made a guest of honor appearance somewhere? No,
yes. I didn't. Not yet.
Okay.
All I've been doing is I recently volunteered to be an artist for Vester, which is a German convention.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah. So they this is their second year this year. So mm-hmm. I'm doing a bit of art for them, which will all show up in end of the year, I think. So I can't share any of it right now, but okay. I'm excited for everyone to see it. It's a cute theme.
So, I mean, again, we have our own convention artist as well, but I mean, like, what would you think would, if somebody wanted to get a con artist, what kind of, yeah.
Yeah, con artist. I still like, find that funny, yeah.
Like a guest of honor type artist?
Well, no, just somebody who would be willing to
volunteer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they just kind of, offer that position out and hopefully someone will come up and take it. Like some of, like, I know a lot of artists hesitate on it because it is free work and it's just volunteer work and you're not getting paid for it. So I can see that being a big issue, but I think, yeah, if you love the community enough, I think you should definitely volunteer to help make it grow, kind of thing. But it doesn't hurt for people who are running conventions just to reach out if they're interested in a certain artist, just to see, like, the worst answer you'll get is a no, but who knows, maybe that artist will want to help with it.
What do you, what would you, when somebody asks, you know, like con artist, what would the expectations be from your side if somebody asked that? What do you think that they would expect from you?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. It depends. Like, they probably wouldn't want to expect a lot from me because that's usually what a guest of honor would be, to do a lot of the artwork promotion for the convention. Probably just like something simple as just like badge designs or even just advertisement designs or something. It really depends on where the convention is and how new they are. And if they can afford an artist, they might want to take on someone on staff who can do a lot of the art for them for free until they're able to like get a guest artist in, I guess.
Okay. I'm glad to see that we're on the right track there.
Good.
Yeah, I think we've done that, I think. But, I mean, I guess it's always good to ask these questions because, definitely. I mean, if anybody ever does ask, it would be good to know.
Yeah, for sure.
Whoa. It is 9:15. I need to figure out more topics here. We've actually gone through these topics a lot faster than I thought we would.
which is
great on one hand, but then there are these weird empty spaces.
Projects you want to plug?
Yeah, projects you want to plug. Let's go there.
Jeez, what am I doing lately? I'm not really working on too many projects. Oh wait, I guess I am. Yeah, hold on. So I work for Mall Apparel on Twitter right now. I have two t-shirt designs out right now, but I think what we're kind of aiming to do is kind of like a seasonal design for each season of the year. So I haven't been asked to do anything yet, but I'm sure that's going to be approaching for fall soon.
Okay.
I'm a part of the Fashion for Zion on Twitter. And I think they're wanting the submissions in by December, so mine will be out soon. I'm still working on it. What other projects am I a part of? I just recently joined the Fluff Butt Trading Card, which is basically a bunch of people kind of making their own trading cards based off of their character, whether it's like art or suits, and you just kind of collect them like trading cards. And I have like a bunch of them coming in the mail probably in October. So I'm just kind of giving those out to anybody who wants them.
Okay, so digital, not digital, hard copy.
No, yeah, they're hard copy, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It's pretty neat.
That's something to ask in off mic, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's it. Like, that's all I'm really a part of. Like, my next convention is MFF, so I'm going to be aiming to try and do the artist alley for that, but it's done by raffle right at the convention, so I won't know until I get there if I'm in it. But I have two panels in the art show for sure, so I'll have some art up in there. Yeah, but that'll all be posted on Twitter when I get to it.
So are they raffle off slots for the artist alley?
They do, yeah. It's pretty crazy. Wow. Like, you have to show up early Friday.
The demand is that high, gee.
Yeah, and then you just kind of wait there just to see if your name's drawn. So I'd have to bring my stuff no matter what if I get in or not, which is pretty ridiculous.
Huh. But... that sounds pretty cool.
We'll see.
Trace asks, do you ever experience art block? And if so, how do you work around it?
I do. I get art block pretty frequently, like once a month. Again, like I usually look at people I follow on Twitter and their work and just kind of try and gain inspiration from what they do. Or just take a, just kind of like a me day, just watch a movie or, you know, do something different, play a video game. Just something that's not related to drawing at all, just so I can take a good break from it. And usually that inspiration will come right back to me in a couple of days.
Oh, that's awesome. Boots asks, so what kind of stuff do you do for funsies when you're not doing commission-related or community-related stuff?
Well, lately I have a lot of, like, friends in the area that I live in, and they usually do, like, kind of just outings. So we'll go for drinks or something or dinner once a week, or we'll do things like rock climbing or just, like, fun activities like that. Like yesterday, I just took part in this thing called Tough Mudder, which is like a very big, obstacle course. And it's very muddy. So me and like a group of friends that are furries in the community just kind of made up a team, and we did that for the day. And that was great. Like, it's such a nice break just from community-related stuff and commissions. Mm-hmm. Being active, definitely.
That is very muddy. Why is it odd question? Now I'm looking at the picture. Why is everybody clean from the waist up? Mostly
the pit wasn't really that deep, but there was definitely some people that, you know, fell face first in it. Like, I'm the most muddiest because I definitely toppled over a couple times, but yeah, they're all just good at not falling.
it's interesting. There was a third question. How would peeps get pins and stuff from you in South Africa?
Oh, I have an online shop if you're interested. Okay. So it's on my website. It's just theartofnicole.com. It's all one word. And I just have a shop tab, and you can just shop around and purchase that. And there's like obviously shipping depending on your area that you pay extra for. But that's probably how you'd do it, unless you can come over here to Canada at a convention and buy it for me in person, but I know it's a bit harder. But I do ship like all over the world, so
okay.
That's good to know.
Yeah, import fees are intense.
Yes, indeed.
Don't even try to get clothing past customs, because they will nail you.
That's too bad.
I know, right?
That entire thing fell through, you know that, right? Like they're not actually making any like cash off of that, like they because obviously like the reason why is because the South African textiles industry has literally fallen through. There's nothing there anymore. Like, South Africa does not technically have a textiles industry anymore. Everything comes from China.
Well, it's not going to stop them from still taxing the hell out of us, so fun.
Buy in bulk, people. For those of you guys who are in South Africa, buy in bulk. It's the best thing that you can do. Right?
Yeah.
I still remember, like, what was it? You ordered how many shirts?
Yeah, just order with some friends or something. And also, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Long story short.
Yeah.
See if you can find clothes
elsewhere. It's probably what I'm going to have to start doing too, because the shipping freeze just from US is insane going to Canada. It's like, we're right up above you. How is it so expensive to get this stuff up here?
Because America and trade war.
Yep, that's it.
Trade war. damn it. Shadow, I think, asks, what are some of your favorite drawing subjects?
Drawing subjects, yeah. Obviously furries. I'm trying to think of what else I draw that's not furry related these days.
You said props, like prop design.
Yeah, I do prop design for a full-time job, so I've been enjoying doing that for sure. And that can be anything, like just basic prop stuff, like a door or like cups, anything like that. It's a nice break away from the usual, for sure. Yeah, not too much. I know I should be branching out and doing more things, but I tend to stay in my comfort zone when it comes to like doing stuff outside of my full-time job.
Well, that's fine. Having to do the exact same thing off the clock that you do on the clock is really, really not good for your mental health, I think.
Absolutely.
When it comes to drawing detail in digital art versus, say, you know, detail in like more traditional art, which one do you prefer more?
I definitely prefer digital more. Like, I used to do a lot of traditional stuff, but I've kind of fallen through it because it's pretty expensive to go out and buy paints and markers and all that stuff, and it's so nice to just have like Control Z to undo something. Whereas with a painting, you're like, great, now I have to try and either work with this mistake or paint or draw over it or just trash it.
Happy little accidents.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I had more of those, but I don't. So I stick with digital for sure.
Yeah. It's like you can't write off
like sneezing and almost putting your brush through a canvas as a happy accident.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
It was a funny accident, though.
Yeah, it's a good story for later.
So Badge asks, how did you come to find your Sona species?
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about my character yet. So my persona is a Canada Lynx. I kind of did it differently than what most people would do, I think. So I was trying to figure out what character I wanted to represent me, because originally I had a warrior cat persona. I was like, I gotta go with something more original here. So I took a couple like what's your spirit animal quizzes on Google. I want it to be a cat, I just don't know what. So I ended up getting otter for the most part, and then I also kept getting lynx for the most part. And I forgot, oh yeah, we actually have Canada lynx up in this part, so that would be kind of cool to do. And I ended up choosing that. And that's how Nicole became to be. And I obviously used my real name for my persona because I wasn't creative. It's easier than like having two different names.
Yeah, then
technically, though, like I do use two different names anyway. I kind of go by Nikki, just kind of outside of the fandom. But Nicole's what I use in the fandom. And also professionally, I don't know if that was a good choice, but it's been working out so far.
I mean, like, speaking about knowing, or like people knowing your name and everything like that, you've never been harassed by anybody, have you?
Thankfully, no. Oh my gosh. Knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't change. But yeah, everyone's been really great and respectful, so let's hope that continues.
Well, I mean, if question about Twitter again. Like, I mean, obviously you attempt to avoid as much drama as possible.
Yeah.
But like, has there ever been an unavoidable situation?
Yeah, usually stuff directing to artists or business practices through commissioning. That's something that kind of triggers me to want to get in and say my opinion about it, because I think it is important stuff that people should know, that if you're dealing with money, you shouldn't be taking it as such a casual thing and thinking, oh, you know, I don't need to give this person the product they paid for right away because it's just a commission. It's like, no, people are still giving you money and you should be responsible with that, and you shouldn't be spending it before you finish what you are paid to do. So I usually get about that, and I'll make a statement about it. But anything more or less than that, I just kind of avoid. I'm like, I don't need to get in on this.
Wise words.
Okay. Very wise words. Okay. Well, that's 21:28. I think this is probably a good time to wrap up and everything like that. So thank you very much for joining us. We do really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool podcast. I liked it a lot.
Awesome. Nice. I did having too. You. It's fun. You guys are really nice.
Thank you.
So yeah, I mean, firstly, you know, good luck for all the future projects and everything like that. We really hope that they work out for you as best as they possibly can. And yeah, I mean, you know, thanks for, you know, doing everything that you do for the fandom. It's really like, it's great to hear.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's a great community to be a part of, for sure.
So just, I mean, if you did have anything like final to plug, for instance, is there anything that you'd like to plug still?
Not really. Just have a great rest of the day. And hopefully I see some of you guys at future conventions and chat more online and stuff like that. And yeah, thanks for everyone's support, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for being on the show. And,
yeah, no worries.
And for those of you guys who are still listening here, obviously we're going to be playing some music for the next hour and a half. No, 2 hours? I can't.
Two and a half hours? Go to bed properly, Ivan. Is it? Just go to bed at a normal hour, please.
No.
Go to bed on Sunday. Go to bed on Sunday, not Monday morning.
Yeah, I don't have to be up very early tomorrow, okay? Still. Yeah. No, it's probably a good thing. But yeah, anyway... Thank you all for listening again. For those of you guys who will be sticking around for afterwards, we will be playing a little bit of music. You can obviously just send through requests. There's a request button on the main page as well as a request button on the app, if I'm not mistaken. You guys can send through any kind of request for music that you guys would like to listen to. But yeah, we'll be back on air in about the next 10 minutes. And yeah, we'll see you then.
See you guys.
See ya.
Cheers.